back, pulls up the three, boom, knocks it down. Curry from the corner at three, puts it in.
For overtime, makes it, Garrett, Murray.
Welcome to the new edition of the MVP cast with me, Mark Woods, a Eurobasket qualifier special this time out. GB entering the fray in their, I guess, last chance saloon to reach the qualifying stages proper towards Eurobasket 2021. It all starts on Wednesday against Kosovo on the road, then back in Manchester on Saturday against Luxembourg. Then they do it all again next week away at Luxembourg midweek. And then a week on Saturday back at Manchester to finish against the Kosovans. So two people who are going to feature very large in that will be the new head coach of Great Britain's men, Nate Ranking. And of course, the centre, who's been a big force for the team over the last few years, Gabe Olaseni. I've spoken to both. You hear their thoughts on the qualifying campaign and their backstories. We'll hear from Nate later in the podcast, but first of all, I caught up with Gabe Olaseni.
Thanks for joining us, Gabe. A new coach for Great Britain, Nate Ranking. Of course, you guys kind of know him, you knew him as an assistant, but what sort of change of tone has he brought into the programme over the last week or so?
I just think more clarity and understanding, telling guys their roles, explaining in depth what he expects from each individual player, and really just putting guys in positions to be as successful as possible. Gave us a good speech to begin the camp. Just letting us know what he expects from us. He expects 4 wins. So just going forward, everyone's been pretty positive. Just excited, really, for the opportunity that's in front of us.
I mean, we saw pics from camp in Manchester of him, you guys all sitting down, him talking to you as a group, and without giving away any too many trade secrets about scouting, etc. But what kind of GB team, when we see you guys on the floor on Wednesday night and on Saturday, what kind of Great Britain team will the Nate Ranking team look like?
I just think first and foremost, we're going to work hard offensively and defensively. We're going to try and get the best shot possible every time. We're going to try and get stops. And then, of course, we have great athletes and some really good shooters. So just get out in transition and get easy points. And also on the other end, just really try and stop people and be hectic out there.
Because how important do you think it is, given that this is a very athletic group, in terms of playing to the strengths, and yours included in that as well? I mean, how important is it you've got a coach that's, I guess, prepared to let you guys do what you do best, use those gifts, as opposed to just having a very rigid system?
I think it's very important. Obviously, as players, you always want to be able to play your game, but you also have to listen to the coach. So he's putting some very strict principles for us to follow, but he's also given us the opportunity to really play the game we like to play. So not necessarily breaking off plays, but seeing reads and making reads, because he trusts all of us with the ball in our hands. So it's just a confidence builder, knowing that he trusts us to make plays out there. And yeah, at the end of the day, we're going to follow his game plan, but he also understands that we're professionals and we can see stuff he can't see. So we're able to make plays out there, which is great.
I mean, the GB women's coach, Chima Buketa, talked a lot about this, about giving his team belief and giving them responsibility and ownership of it all. I mean, is that something that, I think now, given the fact this group's been together for a few years, and obviously there's older guys like Dan, etc., but do you feel that there is, I suppose, that opportunity for your generation, I guess, to take full ownership of what you do on the floor?
Yeah, definitely. I think you can lift as much as you want, you can work as much as you want, you can watch as much film, but if you're not confident out there, it's all for nothing. So I think the mental game is something we're really trying to work on here, being confident at all times. The way we speak to each other has definitely changed also. So like I said earlier, it's just a more positive outlook in camp, a lot more communication between players, guys understanding their roles, knowing who the leaders of the team are, and knowing who has to step up in certain positions. So I think Nate and the rest of the coaching staff have done a really good job in just instilling that confidence, which I think is first and foremost what we need right now.
I mean, you say leaders, obviously Dan Bates, the captain, won, but do you feel now that this is part of your responsibility on the floor to be a leader, to be a tone setter?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, DC, he's the cornerstone. He's been here through the ups and the downs. And then there's the other generation, me, Teddy, Miles, Just really trying to be vocal leaders out there, just leading by example. Because we're not all going to do things the same way. Like I know Dan can scream and shout at me, and he can get what he wants out of me, but he necessarily can't do that to someone else. I can't speak to Teddy a certain way. So I think we're just understanding the communication part and understand that we have to communicate in different ways. Certain guys you can't scream at. Certain guys you have to put your arm around. Certain guys you have to wait until you're away from the court to explain how the play works in more depth. So I think for the most part, everyone's humble. Everyone's ready to learn. It's a short period of time. All we have to do is win four games. So I think everyone's bought in. So it makes everything a whole lot easier.
I know you were very diplomatic, not naming the ones who needed the most time to explain stuff to, but that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
With this roster, I mean, picking 12 from this. No, in the past, it's been fairly easy to go. You come into camp with however many, the 12 that'll go to the first game is very simple. This time, it's been quite tricky to kind of guess it from the outside. And I guess maybe this is, I think, the deepest roster since 2012. I mean, how has camp or the spirit in camp maybe reflected that there is a competition here for places that we haven't seen for a while?
It's good. Obviously, this is a deep group of guys. Guys in multiple positions can play different positions, and a versatile group too. So we all understand that only 12 can make it. So everyone's trying their hardest, but at the same time, no one's trying to go out of the game plan, going away from what coach wants to do. So far it's working well. Like I said earlier, if you just buy into your role, we're going to be successful. If everyone plays the way they're supposed to play, I think we can get these four wins, which is the most important thing.
I mean, this obviously is to try and take one step closer to Eurobasket 2021. But if we go back to 2017, you're second in rebounds in the whole tournament. It's a kind of breakthrough tournament. How much do you think being seen in that environment opened a lot of people's eyes to what you could do?
I don't think much, to be honest. Obviously, it would have been better if we won some of those games, just to put the British game on the map, but I think individual performances without wins don't really count for anything. So I view myself as just a guy who got stats, but didn't really help the team win. So hopefully we get back there. I don't really care about stats, but hopefully if we get a few Ws, really move the British game forward, that's the main thing.
Is that something when you guys have looked at the women very subtly this summer that you think they reach the semi-finals, they've get all the praise that they've deserved, that you would like a little piece of that for yourselves?
Yeah, definitely. We've seen the success of all the teams, men's, women's, the younger teams, and I think we all think we're capable of the same thing. But like I said, we just have to all buy in, understand roles, understand what the coaches want, and then if we do have opportunity to show a little bit more of ourselves, take advantage of that. But yeah, the women are definitely inspirational. They came so far, and no one expected it. So I think we're in the same position going forward.
Kosovo first up on Wednesday, the trip there is back home, Manchester against Luxembourg on Saturday. I know you guys sat down to watch the Kosovo game on Saturday, Luxembourg winning by 8 points. How did you kind of come away assessing the challenge that those two teams will give you?
I think both teams are going to be tough. Well coached, a lot of versatile players at all positions. So I think defensively, we're going to have to really lock in. I think that's where the game's going to be won. I think we can score with the best of them, but I think just coming down the stretch in what's most likely going to be close games, we have to get those stops that we needed to win.
You go to Kosovo. I mean, this is a country that didn't exist when you were in high school. Is there still a kind of novelty when you get to go to places that are, a little bit off the beaten track?
Definitely. But to be honest, the life of a basketball player, you don't really see much. It's pretty much the airport to the hotel to the gym. So I mean, it's going to be exciting. I don't think a lot of the guys have been there before, but it's not a holiday, it's a business trip. So we're just really locked in on getting these wins, and hopefully we can get that done starting on Wednesday.
Is there ever a time when you will pop out of a hotel for an hour before a shooter round or something to see a place, or are you one of those guys who will stay in the room, sleep, nap, do not much else?
Yeah, I'm the second. I have the summer to see certain places, so it's always good to like walk around, maybe grab a coffee with some teammates. But for the most part, try and stay locked in as possible. Go through the routine, go through the recovery process, and just get ready for the games, really.
I mean, you talked about doing the summer. What was your summer travel schedule in terms of getting out and seeing the world?
Just went on holiday with my girlfriend to Marrakesh, Morocco. So that was good for about 2 weeks, and then I split the time between different places in Europe, just working out with my agency, and then spending the rest of the time in London. So I got to see a little bit more than I usually do, but definitely made sure to get some work in as well.
When you go back to London in the summer, I mean, is it still when you get, you're mixing with people who aren't basketball people, let's say. I mean, is there still a curiosity that a guy from London is playing professional basketball in these countries overseas?
I would say so. Once people get to know me, once they start talking to me, they understand pretty much my journey, and they understand how hard I had to work, and everyone has to work to be in a position to play professionally. So I think once they start talking to me, once they get over the hype factor, once they start talking to me, they just realize I'm just a regular kid from London who's just fortunate enough to play basketball, really.
So you bring that up. When was the last time someone walked up to you and said, "You're quite tall, aren't you?"
Pretty much before I got on the phone. I got an elevator and someone said it. So as long as they're not too rude, I can handle it. I can handle the banter.
Luxembourg 2017, you were in that game, the last qualifier. I mean, GB had already qualified, but you lost in Luxembourg. Do you go into a game like Saturday thinking, I wouldn't mind a little bit of payback for that?
Not right now. I'm not really thinking about it now. Obviously, the goal right now is Kosovo, but I'm sure we'll watch game film from that game, and leading up to the game, you start thinking about the previous time you played any team. So I'm sure those thoughts will be there, but you try not to get too emotional. Try and be pretty rigid with your thoughts. Try and be professional and just go out there and execute, really.
There's been talk this summer about the men's team and the sort of, I guess, the purpose, and there's been some shots taken and I guess some fair criticism, you can say, but also people going, you know, what's this team's potential? Should we invest in them? You know, given obviously what everyone spoke about last year, I mean, how much as a team and maybe individually as well, do you think there's some points to prove and maybe some messages that you guys would like to send out?
We try not to listen to outside noise. Obviously, people talk about it on things like social media, but at the end of the day, I think winning solves everything. If we want funding, let's get these four dubs. If we want to move forward and really get the attention and the recognition we deserve, just keep winning. So I think everything's in our hands. Winning solves everything. So we're not too worried about it. We know what we're capable of, but we have to consistently prove it as a group.
Last season, you played in Würzburg. You reached the FIBA Europe Cup final. There's a very select group of British players that have played in a continental cup final. Of course, you didn't. You lost to your former team, Cesari. But what's it like to experience playing in a big European final, you know, with all the hype and everything that goes around it?
It was a great honour. Last year, I played with a great group of guys, great coaching staff. So just being there from early August, having a goal of making it to the finals. Unfortunately, we weren't able to make the BBL playoffs. We ended up in ninth place, but just being able to come together for one goal, and obviously we came a little short, but still proud of the effort going forward. And obviously it was great to play in a final. So hopefully down the line, I'll play in a few more.
I mean, you've gone to France, Italy, Germany. It's kind of three of those groups of leagues that are pretty much on a par. Which of those do you think is the toughest league now?
I would say definitely Spain. I played in Spain I think third year. So that's definitely I would say is the best domestic league in Europe. There's a lot of great teams, a lot of EuroLeague, EuroCup teams. So yeah, I'll say them.
Obviously, you've not yet re-signed in Würzburg. So what's the latest? What can you tell us about next season?
Nothing right now. I turned down a few offers. I'm just trying to look for the right opportunity. I think I had a great summer, so ready to hit the ground running. Hopefully, I'll know in the next week or so where I'll go.
Is there any crazy offer you turned down?
I wouldn't say crazy, just not the situation I was really hoping for.
And what is your criteria when you get to your 27 now? What do you look for this season?
Just a good opportunities to play. I think winning is very important. So being on a good team, a good group of guys, that's the most important thing. I feel as though I can live anywhere. So the country's not as important as the structure of the team. So that's very important.
Last couple of things. I mean, you obviously, when you earn decent money as a player, you know, you kind of maybe think in the short term, you buy some nice stuff, but you also think longer term. How much do you think about, you know, sort of planning, or, you know, what do you invest in things, or what do you sort of plan for the longer term, I guess, health of yourself and career, etc.?
Yeah, obviously you don't try and spend a lot. You try and save as much as you can. I try and save 80, spend 10, and give 10 to like family or charity. So that's what I try and do with all the money I have. So it's worked for me so far. Hopefully I play for another 10 years, so I don't really have to worry too much. But if I'm not able to, I still have some saved. So try and be diligent with the things I save, but also at the same time knowing that you work hard for 10 months, so it's okay to have fun for a week in the summer.
What's the greatest extravagance that you've given yourself?
The greatest extravagance, probably just an iPhone. I don't really spend a lot of money. I keep stuff for a long time. I think I had the iPhone 7 for like 4 or 5 years. So I just got a new one. So I'm pretty happy about that. But that's about it.
I was hoping you were going to say something like a Porsche or a speedboat or something.
No. Definitely not.
Gabe, thanks for joining us. Good luck in the two games, or the four games over the next 2 weeks. And obviously hope the next season comes very well.
Okay, thanks. I really appreciate the call.
So those are the thoughts of Gabe Olesenny. Now, let's hear from the new man in charge. He took over just last week upon the resignation of Alberto Lorenzo. He is the former Great Britain international, 2012 Olympian, Nate Ranking, who spoke to me by phone as the team were heading out to Kosovo to get his thoughts on the qualification campaign and, of course, why he took the job.
Coming in at the last minute, I mean... Obviously, there's an emotional attachment to GB, but you know, given obviously everything that sits in the background and what you've known about it, I mean, was there any kind of nervousness when you got the call from Tony Minicello and said, "Would you like to become the new Great Britain coach?"
Nervousness?
Yes.
No. I mean, I've always been interested in it. It just kind of came out of the blue, and you know, it just feels like it's been hours. You know, getting the job and going into camp. So it's one of those decisions, you know, you just make quickly and run with it.
What was the kind of pitch to you about what this job will involve? Because obviously we've got four games now, but I mean, I guess that you see this very much as a long-term opportunity.
Yes, I do. But we're just going to have to micromanage these four games because right now, that's pretty much all I'm focused on is winning the first one in Kosovo. And that's about it. Like I said, it kind of came out of the blue. I can't really think about past that. And you just have to get these four games and then see where the future lies.
I mean, emotionally, is there something quite special about having played for the team to come back now as a head coach again?
Oh, it is. I mean, it started to become, I mean, it became part of my DNA. I mean, it was, you know, player for 6 years, make it to the pinnacle at the Olympics, and then join the team as a coach and go through a couple European championships there with the guys on that side of the coin, too. So it's been a big part of my life. I think it was for 11 straight years. So to step away from a couple years and then get another opportunity to see where it's at and get a chance to lead it. It's one of those jobs you always dreamt about.
I know when Joe Prunty stepped down, there was, I know you had some interest at that point in coming in, and there was talk about the logistics of the job around being in the G League with Canton and the windows and stuff like that. I mean, I know this was all very short notice, but have you been able to already come up with some sort of program that you could be available for the team throughout the season?
No. Like I said, this is it's really been a shock and a complete, you know, opportunity out of the blue, and it's literally just take it one day at a time.
That will be a conversation with Kobe Altman when this is all done and what might lie beyond.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's my main job. So, you know, that's a priority. So it'll be something that we'll figure out.
I mean, the guys that I've spoken to have talked about you coming and sitting down in that first day and being very clear what you're expecting from them. I mean, how important was that for you to kind of sit down, you know, from day one and say, this is what I would like from all of you individually and collectively?
Yeah, I mean, there's no time. And this is what there's an urgency, not only for, you know, these games coming up, but also for the program. So we have no time. Where camp is already shortened by I don't know how many days, just because of how everything fell in place for, you know, this job for me to take over. So there's no time. And we have no time. And I just had to make that clear from the start. And hopefully the message gets across. And like I said, we're just going to run with this and compete as hard as we can and see what happens.
Does that really involve kind of just looking at the strengths of the players that you have and kind of fitting to them more than you would maybe normally do, where you'd maybe ask them to fit into your system?
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's a compromise. You know, I know quite a few of these players, and then there were some guys I don't really know, so it took me one day. I had a quick glance, and I'm going to just run with what I felt at that time. And say, here's what I want your role to be. So, like I said, it's a different situation. You know, we're very constrained with the time. So, that, like I said, there's just no time. I'm just going to make it clear from now. And then, you know, I'm always an open book. So there's no, if there's something they don't like, you know, I'm not a hard person to talk to. Like, my door is always open. You come talk to us. You explain your reasons, I'll explain my reasons, and then we'll figure it out together and what's best for them individually and more importantly during this time collectively for GB.
Is this where working in the G League maybe helps? That you've kind of, you know, there are nights in the G League where you've got your personnel change at the last minute and you've got to kind of throw everything up in the air and change again. I mean, it's there's a little bit of adjustment in the fly and they'll list as well, though.
The G League has prepped me for this. Like, this is perfect preparation. Like, there is nothing like the G League. It's a whole different animal in itself, but it makes all these a job like this, and you know, you're prepared for it. Like, I'll go through a 50 game season and have 35 different lineups, so it's nothing to me. And this is what I told these guys. I'm saying, if I make a decision right now about you or your playing time, or if you're not going to be involved now, that does not mean you might not get a call tomorrow or the next day or next day. I'm used to having guys come on the day of a game and I'll play them 25 minutes. It's just the way for the past 6 years, you know, in the G League, that's just what you do and you learn to go on the fly. So to me, this is no different. This is just part of what my job's been for the past 6 years.
But I bet no one from the G League ever came in from Love Island, especially for camp.
Yeah, that is true.
With these games, is it safe to assume that you will shift between rosters from game to game, from Kosovo to Luxembourg at the weekend? Or will there be some playing with that, given that guys are being in and out a little bit of camp?
I can't tell you that. I seriously don't know. Like I said, I take this pretty much day by day. Like, all right, we're going to work on this today. I mean, I sort of had a plan prepped for, you know, the 5 days leading into Kosovo, but it's on the fly, so it can change at any moment. And hopefully they got that message that I told them on the first night when we met, and it could be multiple lineups, multiple changing rosters. That's the ironic thing about the name 24 list. I mean, this summer it could be, you never know.
23. with head coach, you've had this head coaching job now for a few seasons in Canton, but you've worked under great coaches, you know, Joe, Chris Finch, etc. I mean, where have you taken that head coaching philosophy from?
If I'm honest, I would, you just take a little bit of everything. I watched Joe built, like, how he ran the program those years with him, and it was amazing to learn under him with my first coaching job, being with GB and seeing how he operated this program and the guys he brought in and establishing that. Before that, you know, playing for Chris and the success building that from day one all the way to 2012. Like, so I've been involved in under two special coaches. So it's been, you just take what you see that you feel is going to be successful. You can't change who you are. You just be yourself, and you kind of take from each guy that you work with and work for, and hopefully, you know, blend it together and into your own style.
I know you spoke to Joe last week. Was there any advice that he gave you?
He gave me plenty of advice. it's always great advice. The way the windows changed, you know, he was somebody that, you know, he put a lot into this program. So it was one of those things you always wanted him to keep going with it. It was just the way the FIBA changed everything. But, you know, his advice is, this is what, you know, this was a big part of your life, and now you get to run the show. So run with it and go with how you feel.
I mean, you played in the very peak of British basketball in 2012. And obviously the team now is in a situation where this is the last gasp qualifiers for Eurobasket. Is that the drive for you from someone who experienced that to put something in place that allows these guys to move back up and experience that kind of big stages that you were able to enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, my purpose in coaching is really to get other players their dream. So it's the same in the G League. Like, I'm there, I enjoy, and I believe my purpose is to help these guys get to where they want to be. If you're going to be involved in the GP program and international basketball, getting to the Olympics is the pinnacle. So I want to see young men experience that. So if there's a way I can help, there's no personal ambition or gain that drives me more than just seeing, you know, young guys be able to experience what I experienced with it.
You know, you've said you want 4 wins out of 4. I guess, you know, obviously every coach is going to say that. But this group that you see, and if you've only had them for 4 days, do you see that longer-term potential now?
I do, and I know there's a lot more talent out there. So it was the same when I was a player. You never know who's out there, and your spot is never, you know, safe. Especially this is a, you know, it's a level where it's a dog-eat-dog world. So there's a lot of talent here. There's a lot of talent not here. And if this is going to be a long-term thing, it's like I said, even in this short window, you never know who's going to be on this roster and who's not.
It's a little old day. Might get a call sometime.
Oh, he'll get a call for sure.
Last thing,
I don't know if he'll pick up, but
no, you never know. He's enjoying himself right now. You know, he might not have anything else to do.
He's enjoying the good life.
Yeah. Will it be kind of special stand up there for the anthem again, back out there on Wednesday night?
Oh, it will. It will. Like I said, it became part of me. My wife's from here. My family, you know, everyone has the dual passports. Like, England is a second home. Great Britain's a second home.
Well, those are the thoughts of Nate Rankin. Don't forget, you can get all full coverage of Great Britain's campaign over the next couple of weeks on MVP247.com. That's it for this edition of the MVP cast. We'll have another one very soon. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can hit me up on the latter at Mark Britbull. But for now, from the MVP cast, we'll catch you soon.